All right, welcome everybody to another episode of 21 Going on 77. I am one half of the dynamic duo. It is your boy Dwight at 517-2214. I'm joined again on another episode with young SJ, the young prodigy, the brains of the operation at SJ Basketball 8. It is trade deadline day. It has just passed. Our favorite team, had the Dallas Mavericks, has just made a whole bunch of trades, a lot of movements. SJ, how are you feeling on this? Well, it's a little gloomy here in Texas, but how are you feeling on this beautiful day?
Well, I am feeling great. I can't lie. I mean, they upgraded, and by they, y'all know who I'm talking about. The Mavericks did what I think a lot of people were largely satisfied by. You know, you have the few people who, you know, aren't fans of it, or you know, for whatever reason, they don't think it was a move worth doing. And we, you know, we can get into that a bit, but overall, I can only speak, you know, for myself. But I feel great. I think the Mavericks are better today, like with a full team, than they were yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's my big takeaway from it was, you know, in the days leading up to the trade deadline over the last week, you know, I'm gonna be honest, I've been a little negative on the Mavs. I'm just like, bro, I can't get, I looked at our roster and I looked at who would play the rest of the season, and I looked at who would play in the playoffs. And I'm like, bro, this is guards and a 19-year-old, so I just couldn't take this team serious. And it was pissing me off because I didn't really see a pathway of being a real team until the summer. And it's like, we were asked last year, and I thought we had a decent chance of being asked again. And I don't feel that way no more. I guess we'll get into it later, the exact details, but just a quick gut reaction. I'm really happy with the stuff they did, but I will say this, and I'll go into detail more later. I am going to pump the brakes a little bit. I don't want to, every move they've made during the Luka era that I loved, pretty much I loved them all. Every big move they made, I loved them all when it happened. And then years later, we like, yeah, that shit was ass. So I do like what they did in the moment, but we're going to see. Before we get into, like, you know, the Mavs roster and rotations and how we think we're gonna finish, what other big trades happened? You know, I took today off, I ended up being sick anyway, but man, I'm trying to think, like, Miles Bridges didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, he did not. I mean, I'm looking at right now, I just saw Stein, did a little article about his takes, and I'm just opening it just to refresh my memory on people who went. But I mean, because I was okay, so earlier this morning I had a whole presentation. It was like I had to, okay, I'm not gonna get into it, but basically I had to do a whole presentation, so I was like, I could not, you know, be on my phone at all. So I was like, oh, I'm hoping we don't get like early morning barrage, but that's exactly what happened. After I got out, looked at my phone, I'm seeing Gordon Hayward is going to OKC. I'm seeing the Knicks. That's when the Knicks were popping off, doing what they did. The Knicks made a lot of good moves. And I mean, you touched on it, I've been saying it, they, Detroit and them. I mean, there's trade partners that are, you know, it's not uncommon, you know, for teams to trade with each other frequently. But what Detroit be doing is so crazy for the Knicks, bro. Is that like, is this a PG-13 pod? Or can I say, like, Detroit be like, yes, daddy, to the Knicks every single time there's a trade deadline or an off season. Every time the Knicks need something, here's Detroit. Like, here's Detroit.
The thing that be killing me is, like, you assume when the trades get announced, like, okay, they gave them something good. They be giving them bullshit to bust it wide open.
It don't even be
good picks. It don't even be good shit. I'm like, bro, what? I don't know what Troy Weaver got going on with Leon Rose. I don't know what. I don't even know how Troy Weaver was able to keep his job for this deadline. But
Exactly.
It's
But
crazy. It's
it
crazy.
is what it is. They waived Killian Hayes. Like, it's crazy. This camp is talking about request a trade, lottery pick, not even, I mean, this was the last year of his rookie deal, to be fair, but still on a rookie deal, just waived. He's out of, I mean, Detroit made a, they had a lot of roster turnover, actually. If we stay there for a little bit, he traded Boyan, they traded Alec Burks, they got in Fontecchio. Who did they send out for? Oh, Kevin Knox, they sent out for Fontecchio. They got they waived Joe Harris, waived Killian Hayes. I think they waived House too. And who else? They, I think they got somebody else. They got a few more people over there. Oh, Quentin Grimes, how can I forget? To me, that was probably the biggest acquisition there. And just don't be surprised if you see some BS from Monty putting Quentin Grimes in the backcourt next to Cade and still bringing Ivy off the bench. And honestly, not to
Don't
say that that's
say
okay. I'm not. After he put up 37, I'm not gonna say that.
that.
You're
Don't
right.
say that.
He just put up 37. You're right. But I'm just saying that. And also, that was without Cade. Just saying that was without Cade. But I'm just saying that they have options now. The roster is a little bit. They had a lot of roster turnover, so I think that could be good. That could be bad. But I think they're a little more talented than they were when they were losing, 28 in a row. So, that's them. And I mean, yeah, I think there was the who else? I mean, there were some good moves, baffling moves. Like, what the hell did Toronto and the Nets do? Let's start there. That trade was very strange because ultimately, with Toronto releasing Spencer Dinwiddie, they what did they do that trade for?
Save a couple dollars, I
To
think.
save money, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's like that's so like you're tanking, you're actively tanking. Like you gave up the, I mean, as much as Dennis Schroder, it's been a little. He's been professional. Like there's no bad blood there, so I don't want to make it seem like I'm saying there's animosity. But he's unhappy. He's not all the way happy with his role. They're losing all that, but he has his money, so he's largely satisfied. But you just gave him away for nothing, essentially. And the Nets waived Thad Young. So it's not like the Nets they just got Schroeder. And it's like, why do you want Schroeder when you have Dennis Smith Jr., who's basically like a diet version, not as good as Schroeder, obviously, but kind of gives you some of the same things. So it's like, are you just banishing his role to do what? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think you were a Schroeder? Because Schroeder is not really a, he's a point guard, but Schroeder is not that, he's not that passing, pass first type point guard.
Not at all.
Exactly. So it's kind of like he looks for his shot first and he playmakes out of that. You know what I'm saying? So not to say that the Nets need a traditional point guard type, because I mean they still have Ben Simmons who's always looking to pass. I saw him, the other day. He did not look at people behind me yelling at me, Ben, shoot it. Look at the rim. Like all that shit. Like they're not satisfied with him. But my point is I just didn't get that. That was like one of the weirder trades I feel like of the deadline. And you always get one of those each year. Like one a trade that makes you go, okay. So I feel like that was it, actually. And I'm disappointed with Philly.
Are you
Daryl
disappointed?
Moore. Daryl Moore. I feel like people are saying, Jackson Lloyd. I like Jackson Lloyd. On my TL, he was saying that people were dragging the rea like the reaction to Jaden Springer getting traded to the Celtics. It was dragged. And sure, as a player, I'm not saying that Jaden Springer is a world beater or any type. Like Philly just traded this. This underrated gem, like maybe a little bit, but not like to the extent of which, like, I think he's gonna be a star or even like a great role player or anything like that. But is the fact that what is he as a player? He's a guy, tremendous defensive upside, really a strong defender. That's really his game. Offense, he needs work there. It's like you can see flashes here and you can see something you can work with, but it's not at a stage where he's like you would say he's a positive offensive player. However, you trade him to the has the kind of they have the structure and the foundation to hide his poor offensive, you know what I'm saying, talents. And rotation, right away. But that's still an option that you give them. And I'm like, that's your rival at the end of the day. And I don't know, maybe I'm old school. Like I've been saying for, I'm big on not trading your rival
Oh, we having technical difficulties.
And said, if I'm your career, like, I don't like division trades if it's like you're competing. Like, if a team in your division is like a tanking team, that's like whatever. It's like if we made a trade with the Spurs, which we technically did with Reggie Bullock, that's whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Spurs, they're not trying to win shit. Philly, I mean, yes, Embiid is hurt, all that. You're still, you know, trying to compete with the Celtics. Why are you giving them pieces that could potentially make them better? Like, I mean, good on the Celtics part for taking advantage, but goddamn, you know what I'm saying? So, and then they traded Pat Bev for campaign. I mean, that's kind of a wash at that point. You know what I'm saying? But like, so that was like a whatever trade. They traded out, what's the again? Oh, Buddy Hield. I mean, Buddy Hield is cool, sure, but are you gonna invest long term in a maxi Buddy Hield backcourt? Like, are you gonna really
Right.
rely on MB that much to cover up that when you know his issues, you know what I'm saying? So like his defensive issues. So I don't know. It was a little disappointing for me, and you can tell. And honestly, I knew it was gonna be disappointing because people kept saying Philly's gonna do that, Philly's gonna do this, and I'm like, Philly is trying to preserve that cap space basically by any means necessary. And the deals that they did were basically for expiring contracts. You know, they gave up expiring money to get expiring money. So it was, they were always going to keep that flexibility anyway. So I probably should have seen that coming, that it wasn't going to be anything crazy for them. But I mean, at the end of the day, Embiid's hurt. Once he's hurt, there's no talking about contending there. So, yeah, that was that for them. But I feel like, yeah, every there was no, obviously we've been getting the tea leaves that the deadline was going to be a little bit, and honestly it was a busy day, but quieter in the sense that it wasn't going to be stars or anything like that traded, and we didn't see any stars. Who was the best player traded? Was it PJ Washington? Has an argument. I don't want to just say outright him, you know, sound like I'm biased, but who's the best
Yeah,
player that got traded?
I mean
Like,
it's
Gordon
him.
Hayward is washed. Is it Boyan? Maybe. Maybe Boyan. I think Boyan is better than PJ right now.
Is he?
But he's like a 20-point team. But even on Utah when they were good, he was still putting up points. And I know he's older now, but still, he still has his game. I would
Yeah,
say, yeah.
I got it. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, dog. Like, I know we play the Knicks. That game come on in what, 40 minutes? They got a fuck. They got Bojan for some bullshit. Like I've looked up his stats while we were talking, and it's just like, bro, how did they got him for some fuck shit? Anyway,
That's stupid shit, bro. Really. That's why I
like.
was so mad at Detroit. I'm like, again? Bro, y'all are letting them bend you over. They have you bent over in all these deals. Like, they're not, like, it's crazy. They're not, and they use their pick. They use Detroit's second to come up on OG. Like, it's y'all are getting spanked.
I gotta get over it.
They're
Jalen, my
rebuilding the Knicks.
God. Yeah,
They're rebuilding the
that's what I'm
Knicks.
saying, bro. They literally every major move the Knicks have made
It's
towards
because of
they run
Detroit.
it exactly. Every single one. Jalen, since they finessed the Jalen Brunson through Detroit, and it's just been running a train on Detroit ever since.
Exactly.
Anyway, let's stop talking about them. Yeah, I think there was a lot less movement than I thought was going to be. Every insider I listened to was basically saying that DeJounte Murray was probably going to get moved. I heard that Miles Bridges was going to get moved. And none of them dudes went anywhere. And the Lakers didn't do shit, which was shocking to me. I guess they're trying to go for broke in the offseason. Maybe they're going to try to get Trae Young. Maybe they'll revisit DeJounte Murray. That was shocking to me. I just don't know what Detroit did, but when old buddy kept his job, it makes sense. Like, he stinks. He's a bad GM. So him not losing it, but when he didn't get fired, you could assume anything weird come going on from them. That's pretty much it, man. That's pretty much it. There's no trade. One thing I will say, like, Andre Drummond didn't get traded. Nothing like that. There was no trade that was made that the Mavs didn't make that I wish they would have made. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I agree. I agree. When people are talking about Tillman and doing all this about Tillman, we got somebody better than Tillman, so there's that.
Exactly.
And that was just a couple of days before. Like, I was trying to just wait it out, and honestly, I had a feeling we were gonna get PJ. Like, the talks were loud, they were determined, and like the feeling is, and I know this is kind of where people maybe have their concerns, but the feeling was that you cannot disappoint again this season, and by disappoint is playing Fallout the playoffs type disappoint. Like, it's fine if you get back in it, even if you lose in the first round, that's gonna be like, eh, but like, you're back, put up a great performance. If Kyrie's playing, that's, we'll see, depending, and it could be something that is like, okay, we were gonna lose if we match up with someone we definitely weren't gonna, win against, or we put up a good fight. Like, my point is, there's several outcomes that can happen there. But if we fall out the playoffs, like, that just can't happen again after last season. Like, you had your little one-off season to have something weird like that happen. Now you need to take steps forward. In terms of contending again, like I said, there's virtually no way to kind of build that contender. I think we're closer to it now. Like, the building blocks are there. I still don't think we're there yet. There's still too many holes on the roster. We're not quite ready. These guys haven't played a game yet. You know what I'm saying? You can't call a team a contender like that without even seeing them play. So I think, I'll hold off on all that, but we are definitely better. And we every move they made were moves that, not just me, but everybody, liked. Like, we all wanted PJ as the first choice last summer. We all knew that. Didn't work out until it did now. And you can say, oh, we gave up a swap, to do it. And yes, fine. The 2030 swap is the only one I think you can really have qualms about. You're kind of like, eh. But again, I feel like a swap at the end of the year, you're still getting a first. Like, I know it's, you could be giving up like the second overall pick for like 22 or some shit like that. I get it. But at the end of the day, you have to operate like you're trying to keep Luka. Like, why would you operate like you're gonna lose him anyway? What kind of defeatist mindset is that? Do you think you're gonna build a good team and win like that? And I get it, you can't throw away the entire future, but I don't think that's what happened. That's what they talk about. Some people saying we're throwing away the future and stuff like that. I don't see it. I don't see it like that. You know what I'm saying? Especially since these guys are younger. Like, I would get it if we did this for like Dorian and like these older role players. So it's like, in 2 years, you're really pressured to like win something in 2 years, or it's gonna look really funky. These guys are like 20, like, not even prime years yet. They're inching closer to it. They're more on, they're Luka's age. You know what I'm saying? With room to grow in their game. So I don't know. I don't see the mortgage future. I don't see that angle. I don't.
I really don't either. And the other thing is, Luka, if he does leave Dallas, he's getting traded. He's not leaving the money on the table. He's gonna get traded. And some team is gonna give us every draft pick that exists and some young players. You look at Houston mortgaged their future and they right back up with young players. You know what I'm saying? I think they don't have their first round pick this year, but this draft is ass. There's no guarantee that the draft is going to be good this year, right? The only thing that makes me nervous is, like you said, that 2030 joint. Because, shit, what is that? 6 years down the
That's
road?
like 6 years. That's like
Yeah.
a good amount of time. Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, we could have won a championship or two and Luka just retired. There's just so many different things that can take place over 6 years. And I'm old, so oh my God, you were literally a child when this happened. But the LeBron James draft, the Pistons had the second pick. They didn't take Carmelo, they didn't take D-Wade, they took Darko. And the way they got they had they the Pistons were the one seed and had the fucking second pick in a generational draft. And the way that happened was some fuck ass trade for Otis Thorpe when, like, the Grizzlies, I think they was even in Vancouver back then. They did basically a role player trade. Oh, shout out to Otis Thorpe. And that pick just kept rolling over, rolling over, and rolling over. And then finally, that bitch rolled over to being the number two pick in the draft. So that's the only thing I say about, like, that just and that ain't recent NBA history because LeBron been in the league 20 years now, but that does kind of I could see something like that happening with that 2030 pick. But at the same time, I'll just say it. We gotta sit or get off the pot. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kyrie Irving is fucking 31 years old. He has availability issues. He also can opt out of his contract next year. So what we doing? You know, that's one of the reasons why when people were upset about wanting to trade Josh Green for PJ, I was like, bro, where do y'all think this is headed? Josh Green is not going to be at his best with Luka and Kyrie. You know, he's basically a bench player. You're turning, and I think Josh Green and PJ could be potentially looked at as comparable. I do think PJ is better. But the reason I was so passionate about wanting to trade Josh Green was like, you're turning a bench player who's probably always going to be a bench player into the player that fits your biggest need, probably on the whole roster. So that's my thing. Like, I look at the team we have now, Luka, Kyrie. You think Josh gonna keep starting even once Exum come back?
Yeah, I think they're gonna keep because it showed the last time he came back and they kept Josh starting. Then they're gonna keep him starting unless like Exum gets back and he's playing okay off the bench. And if Josh is like really slumping, I think that's when they'd move him. But I mean, I'd like to see a lineup with like Exum inserted in there again. Probably not starting at this point. His body, I'm just. I like him off the bench, at this point. Keep him for the playoffs. I think he could be a like in the playoffs, I don't think he can handle huge, huge minutes, but that's still a player who can help. You can definitely insert, so keep him
Right.
healthy, which is why I want we haven't even touched on Spencer.
Oh
I
boy.
saw a tweet and someone was like, and I actually agreed, it was like, is like Spencer the best player to ever hit the buyout? And it made me think. Like not best player like of all time, but best player like in that moment, if you know what I mean. Like Blake Griffin, was bought out, but he at the time he was like pretty washed. Like that wasn't really a surprise that he got bought out. Like I'm a little surprised. Like even though that rumor was out there, and then he Nets, I think it was like Nets Daily said he might get bought out from the Nets, and he was like, oh, that's cap. I mean, he ended up did getting bought out, but it was by Toronto, but still. Like that's still a little surprising to me, Spencer. Like nobody, like somebody traded for Spencer and he was like waived. You know what I'm saying? That type of stuff. And granted, he's been, it's been a pretty bad season. But still, like a pretty bad season coming off, kind of a solid year and a half. And I know that was just one place, Dallas, all this context. But still, like that feels weird to me, especially since he's not old. Yes, he has injury stuff, but he's been largely healthy. This
He's
he's
been
been largely
healthy.
healthy.
Yeah, he's been pretty reliable on the health
Yeah,
front.
so it's like it's that was just weird. And now there's I mean he was trolling on Twitter like in tweets from Mavs fans and Lakers fans. He's like that, he likes to troll on Twitter all that. But I think we have a good shot, especially since I saw that we have a little bit of that Bertans TPE left. To where we can give him like a little chunk of money, like a bump up from the minimum. I think the Lakers, for
Oh
example, can only
no,
offer.
I think the Lakers can only offer like 1.5 million prorated, or it might just be 1.5 period. I don't know, but I know
Exactly. So,
whatever
yeah.
they can offer, we can offer 5.1. I don't know if that's 5.1 cash or prorated, but the math is the math. We can offer more than three times as much as the Lakers or any of the other teams that are rumored to want him.
Yeah, so well, there we go. So I think if he's weighing his options, obviously I don't know his priorities. I'm not gonna try to guess or whatever, but I'm just saying if I were him, what I would do is consider my options, right? And from what I see, like there's a couple teams in the mix, but if you're thinking about role, think about it. You're probably not going anywhere and starting. You know what I mean? Like
No,
Philly, you're not going
it's
anywhere
not,
starting.
no. I think Spencer knows he's like a mid-level type cat at this point. I'm sure his agent has let him know that, and I'm pretty sure Spencer just wanna hoop and be happy at this phase of his career.
I would agree with you, honestly. Yeah, I would agree with you. And at a certain point, like one thing with him, he's, volatile personality a little bit. Like he will quit on you if he's not, hooping and happy and all that. But I think, my point about role is that largely it would be obviously with a lot of variation, but it would be largely the same in that you're coming off the bench pretty much wherever you choose to go. And remember, there's limits on teams he can go to too. So with that being said, it's like, okay, if you're thinking about money again, Mavericks are one of the teams that can, give you a good chunk of change, unless you're, obviously if you're trying to go to like one of the rebuilding teams, I don't know why you do it such a thing, but at this stage, but if he's thinking about still going to a place where he can play in the playoffs at least, even if it's if contender, I don't see contender being, Spencer's selling point type thing. Would it be nice? Sure, but I don't think that's the selling point, is my point. I think as long as you're at least hooping competitively, I think he'd be fine. Or I would be fine if I, was him. And I would also consider just fit as well, 'cause that's important. You're still trying to get paid, right? You're expiring, you still want to get a contract. Like, yes, you're not the 18 plus 20 mil plus you used to be in the past, but you could still, like you said, he's a mid-level guy. Like he could get 14, even maybe a little, like a little bump from the middle. What's the mid-level? Is it like 12 mil now?
Well, shit, man,
Or is
next
it going up to
year,
like 14 or something like that? If it goes up,
I
or
think it's going up
13?
to like 13, 14 next year.
Okay, so if it's like 13, 14, then yeah, he's a mid-level guy. Yeah, he's a mid-level guy. Maybe he could get 15. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Something like that. But around there sounds about right. And I think you still have to show a team that that's worth giving to you, because as much as it's still, a cute chunk of change. So I think you have to consider fit. And the Lakers, I don't get that fit. And that's, again, not me talking from the standpoint of, oh, I want him, so I'm gonna talk from a biased standpoint, but I don't, what's the, f they have D'Lo, they have Reeves, they have even Braun, who's a ball handler. So is Spencer come, I mean, Gabe Vince, did Gabe Vincent die? Is that the case, that they don't think he's gonna come back to play?
I
I
think that
just
might
think,
have something to do with it, but still, it don't make sense to me either.
yeah, I just don't see the fit there. I mean, I see a cleaner fit on the Mavericks. If you're asking me out of those two teams, I think it's definitely a cleaner fit on the Mavericks, in that you're clearly the third guard off the bench. And I think it provides us with a different kind of skill set, and compared to like Exum and Tim. I another thing, like, and I know Spencer's not a good defender, like I've seen him on the team, like obviously for a while he's not a good defender, but I think with Tim and Spencer you can kind of control those minutes, in that if one of them is off, you just don't play that much that game, you know what I'm saying? Like you have that, you'd have that luxury. And I just think it works out for both sides. Like you have been productive alongside, Luka, and he's played with Kyrie before actually, too. And people forget they, crossed over a bit. Granted, at the time he was recovering from that partially torn ACL, I believe. So he was, still getting into the swing of the games, but and it was just, this was right before he, did he get traded to the Wizards, or no, did he sign with the Wizards? What happened to him? I think he got injured again or something of the sort. So they didn't play like too much together,
I think
but
they play like two or three games if that.
yeah, it wasn't much, but yeah, before he got hurt. So but still, there's a relationship there. He has a relationship with a lot of people on the coaching staff, all that. So I don't know, unless he wants to just go home and hoop for the Lakers. That's something that he's always wanted to do. I mean, sure. That's definitely, I'm not ruling that out. But I just think, if the Mavericks, clearly they're pursuing him, I think it's not just like we're nonchalant about the fit. This is something that's fan driven. Sometimes the fans want something, but management isn't even looking into it. This is not that. Like, the reporting has been solid from multiple people that, yes, the Mavericks are trying to get him back. So I think, I don't know. The only thing is that it takes Hardy out the rotation. And he's been playing well lately, I can't lie. But at the same time, if we got playoff aspirations, or stop talking about some Jaden Hardy, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? I love the guy. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if we're trying to do a little something this year, again, not necessarily contention, but still, if we are trying to act like it, then to me, that's a move that shows me you're acting like it.
Man, I would have traded Jaden Hardy for a couple second round picks just to keep it funky with you. Like, I God bless the young man, but I'm trying to win right now. I don't know if we got the room, especially at the guard position, to deal with his development and all that jazz. And I don't, I'm not real big on plus minus on an individual basis, but I do think there's some truth to it once you go over the whole season. And like, Jaden's the second worst player as far as plus minus on the team. Grant Williams was number one with a bullet, so I guess technically Jaden Hardy was the worst now. And I think that holds up to the eye test. Believe it or not, like I said, I'm not a total fan of plus minus, but I don't know, the plus minus for the Mavs actually holds up. Like, who do you think is number one? Just guess.
Number one in plus minus?
Yes, for this season.
Isn't it Brunson?
No, for the Mavs.
Oh, for the Mavs.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about the NBA. Number one in plus minus for the Mavs. Is it like,
It's surprising, but not really.
oh,
Especially
surprising, but not really.
if you watch the
Is it,
games.
oh, is it Exum?
It is fucking Dante Exum. It is
Yeah.
Dante
Yeah,
Exum
I
and Derek.
figured. That's. I feel like every time he's on the court, good things are happening. That's why I'm like, yeah, it gotta be
It's
Exum. Like,
Dante Exum, Derek Lively, and then Luka and Kyrie. Kyrie and Luka. And does that not feel like how it's been? And no shade to Josh Green, but he negative. He down there with the negatives. Everybody talk about Tim Hardaway be blowing leads, but he ain't as negative in that shit as Josh Green and Grant Williams and Jaden Hardy, but
Yeah, Grant, and here's the thing, listen, HP basketball always hating on the Mavs, but he had a tweet. He had a series of tweets because he liked the move for t of getting PJ, and he was like, basically simplified it in that, yeah, I was like, basically simplified it in that Grant, the Mavericks are a, good team, decent team at the very least, and Grant was one of the worst players on it. Mavericks, or not Mavericks, but the Hornets, shitty team. And PJ Washington was a positive on the shitty team. So I feel like, again, not a perfect player. I'm not trying to make it seem like he's some world beater, like all that. I'm really not. But at the same time, I've always, I mean, a theme with me, and I'm sticking to it, like I truly believe in it, is that like fit, especially on a Luka team, is gonna be just super important. And getting those guys that can fit. I think he can fit. And it doesn't have to be immediate. Like I said, if the first game together, they gotta figure some stuff out. He gotta figure where PJ likes to be on the court. Things like that. It's gonna take time. Like, I'm not expecting first game together to just be perfect. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna take time. Which is why I look at these moves as kind of future-oriented moves where, people are saying, yeah, the future's, y'all throwing away the future. I don't think so, man. Like, I had a tweet on the timeline.
I think if shit gets spooky, you could bust down Josh Green for some first round picks.
That's what
Or
I'm saying. Like, I think you.
you could get at least one first round pick from Josh Green. Now, it's not gonna be unprotected like the shit we done sent out, but you would get, we have young players that you could recoup draft capital back.
Exactly. I think what's underrated is that, like you said, didn't give up Josh Green, and he could definitely be an asset. We did not give up Omax, and he's the wild card to me. He's to me, Omax is kind of the, we talk about Lively saving the roster, all that. Omax, right, like on the roster right now, Omax is the wild card. Like, if he develops, it depends, because that shot still has a way to go. But somehow, if he d gets on a Jalen Johnson type of shooting regimen. Like, Jalen Johnson shot like 28% from three or 30% from three last season, and now he's up to 37 on modest volume. Like, I don't think Omax is gonna be no mod, like, volume shooter. Like, no. But if you know he could shoot at modest volume, like a little four a game, something like that, a little
Yeah.
three four a game, something modest like that. And obviously defense is gonna be his calling card. He can get to the line some, he drive a closeout type deal. So if he develops those skills as well as develops his defense more, because as much as he's right now, he's kind of more energy on that end than actual good defender. You know what I'm saying? But the framework is there, is my point. So if you can get him, you know what I'm saying, looking good, and if he can even contribute off the bench starting next year, I mean, by the year after that, I know that's the year Kyrie can opt out, all that. But if you, let's say Josh is stuck around and Omax is just supercharged and really his development is expedited in some way, and he can be a viable starter, all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? It's like Luka, Josh, Omax, PJ, and Lively. Now it's not screaming with like super duper star, like it's not screaming, it's not a lineup of all stars. But if games grow, to me, that's like a situation where skill sets complement, each other, especially if Josh, his game keeps growing. Or if you, by that point, you traded Josh for somebody else that could slot in that spot, somebody better, hopefully. And I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like that's why I'm like, it's not, I don't see it as such a oh, we have no, like we're stuck, we're just stuck. I feel like we have wiggle room. Even if things don't really work out the way we want, there's still wiggle room. You know what I'm saying? Like the wiggle room won't always be there. It's not infinite. So it's like you don't have too many more chances, but I think that it's not like hope. We're not stuck. I don't think we're deep in the quicksand yet.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm gonna respond to that right after this break. I agree with you. We still have wiggle room. Like, I get a little nervous about the 30-30 pick. I'm not gonna hold you, but hey, man, it's no risk and no biscuit. Like, we can't be mid no more. And again, like you said, we're not a contender, but let's say worst case scenario breaks out, Kyrie keep getting hurt, and then he leaves. My big thing is where I was trying to trade Josh was because I'm like, bro, as long as Kyrie here, if we're trying to maximize this window with Luka and Kyrie, I don't think Josh is a part of it. I don't. To be honest, the team has basically said it because if Dante Exum didn't get hurt, Josh Green is not starting. He's a bench player, a dude on a vet minimum, came from overseas and ran his spot, right? Shit, and two of them actually because Derrick Jones Jr. and Dante Exum basically were ahead of this man. So, and I do think Josh has got better. I don't. I think there's a perception that I think Josh stinks. I don't think Josh stinks. I just it was a waste of everybody's time
Yeah, he's
trying.
a guard. He's a.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This is why. Sorry to cut you off, but real quick. This is why I get positional, like positionless basketball, like as a thing, blah blah. But here's why sometimes positions are great, because at the two spot, Josh has good size, like around average size for a two guard, and he defends better. He defends guards better. At the three spot, now you become an undersized three. And there's challenges like that. So that's why I'm like, I definitely get what you're saying in that he's a guard. He's a guard.
And he's a guard. And I just think it was a waste of everybody's time trying to hold on to him when you got the option to get a upgrade at a. I think we probably have the worst power forward situation for any playoff team. Who's worse than us?
Nobody, nobody. Probably only OKC, because they technically don't really have like
Yeah, they're
power forwards.
powerful.
Yeah.
Okay, I get you that. But like, shit was bleak. And to me, I was definitely sacrificing Josh to upgrade that position. But now that we made the moves we made, I do think if Josh keeps hooping, It don't have to be anything spectacular. Just I need Josh just, hey bro, just average 10, 11 points a game and keep your percentages high. With the contract he's on, he will get it and probably be worth a lottery protected first round pick whenever they want to punt, as long as he stays healthy. And you're not putting him in a position to where you need to depend on him to do something. It ain't fair to him to make him guard threes and fours and shit. And he that just ain't him. Like we've seen it, that ain't him. So I like you said, we have wiggle room now. And the thing I like, the reason why I really like the roster as constructed, I don't think any who's being asked to do something they just can't do. They just physically don't have the ability to do. I guess you say Exum and Josh kind of sorta, but
Yeah, maybe. And then now we knock the Derek down a peg.
And that's the thing, like, because you still have Exum and you have Derek and you have Josh, even Maxey ain't playing center as much as he was. And then Derrick Jones Jr., I could be wrong, but I think Derrick Jones Jr. has already played, like, I think the second, if he d doesn't play another game the rest of the season, this is like the second most minutes he's ever played in his career, some shit. So we running him into the ground, and you probably starting to see that. Same thing with Josh. You don't need to have Josh out there for 30, 35 minutes because you know kid gonna be trying to run playoff rotations because we trying to win every fucking game. And it puts this roster in a position where people aren't being asked to do things physically they just totally can't do. And that's another reason why I want Spencer, because to me, that's just the final touch, because we still really only got two people that can dribble. I guess three if you want to combine half of Josh and half of Dante Exum, but I still, in a playoff setting, I'm still not comfortable with either one of those dudes running action against playoff defense and scoring points. So, and Spencer was iffy at that shit, but at least there's some proof of concept with that, right? So, but even if we don't get Spencer, I still think we good. You can't have the perfect team, and we better. And I'm happy with what we got. Now, with all that being said, the thing I want to touch on is you look at every big trade that we've made in the Luka era. I love the KP trade. I thought it was a no-brainer. The only trade we made that was semi-big, I didn't like Seth Curry for DeLon. What? No, it was Seth Curry for Josh Richardson. I didn't like that. I ended up being right about that one, but I didn't like that one. I love the Kyrie trade, and it's to me that's still being written. So far, it still ain't worked out. We still under 500 since that happened. I love the Grant Williams signing. I love the Grant Williams move, bruh. I don't remember the last time a team's biggest free agent acquisition for a team that was trying to win, they had to punt his ass by the trade deadline of the summer that they got him. And he deserved it. He deserved it. Like, bro, I forget exact, like the chasm. It was a chasm between him and fucking Jaden Hardy for worst plus minus. Like he was damn near doubling up Jaden Hardy, and he was a starter. He played with the good players. Jaden Hardy and some of the other bench guys whose plus minus is bad, you could be like, well, they come off the bench, right? So they don't get to play with Luka and Kyrie. He did, and he still was ass. That's what makes it so bad. But I just will say, I'm not trying to pour water on anybody's thing, and maybe it's just because I'm a little under the weather and I'm just emotionally reserved, but I think we just need to chill and see how it play out. And while I think Nico, he's trying and he deserves credit for attempting to do something, I just don't feel comfortable praising him for fixing shit that he had control of. Does that make sense? Like he's having. Let's be real. We had to trade for Kyrie because they misevaluated Jalen Brunson. We had to do what we did for PJ because they misevaluated Grant Williams. I don't. It ain't like those moves were free. So that's my only thing with all this, where I'm like, man, let's chill on the praise till these dudes actually win something, till they actually accomplish something. But I like the way we look on paper, if that makes sense. Actually, we ain't talked about Daniel Gafford yet.
We have not. And it's a good segue to get into him because that's another one that I mean, not so much at the deadline. I mean, there wasn't much smoke there, so this is the one move that happened out of nowhere with us. But before, in the like off season, he was a name that was floated around when we were talking about trades. Because obviously at the time we thought center was a big need, so we were talking about him as coming as a starter. Like he's coming here as a backup that to me doesn't get more elite than that. And okay, let me not say it again. Gafford, not a world beater. I'm not trying, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to make it seem like he's just this some great, but he's for a backup. I think that's probably one of the best backups now in the league as a backup center. And with Lively now, you can kind of this kind of relieves Lively a bit in that he's been pretty available, Gafford. He had a little bit of injury stuff early, I feel like, in his career, but he's been largely healthy, I feel like, this season. I haven't checked it out, obviously. Don't quote me on that, but
No, you're right. I feel like he was hurt a lot early, but I want to say the last 2 years, man, I don't think he really missed that many games.
Yeah, exactly. So he's largely available. You know, Lively has had, you know, some freak injuries, but their injuries, you know, been out a lot. You know, sometimes obviously the rookie fouling, all that. Now, granted, Gafford, I don't know if he's improved. I need to check the numbers, but Gafford used to foul a lot. I remember that. Which is why I had doubts back then. I was like, I don't see him as a long starting center long term. For, you know, some of those reasons. And again, now he's not that. You know, he's a backup here. And these are some of the things that I was talking about earlier in the, you know, trade season period before moves are made when I was like, Lively being on a rookie deal afford you can afford to do certain things like that. In that, you know, people are saying, oh, you gave up a first for Gaffer, blah blah. Okay, so that's the basically the swap, the 2028 swap. Listen, people are saying that's the year after Luka's deal's up. I expect Luka to be signed by then, like re-signed by then.
I think if Luka trade it gets if Luka leaves the Dallas Mavericks, it's going to be that summer. If it ever happens,
Yeah, and then
it's going
even
to be
then,
that summer.
we're gonna get a boatload
Exactly.
of draft assets. So it's like it is what it
Sir.
is. And to me, if you're losing Luka, you failed anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like the failure is not the pick that you gave up to try to compete with him. The failure is that you couldn't do it. So he has to leave. So that's the failures. So that's why I'm like, I understand this whole pick thing, but that's why I mean, Zaire caught it straight, but I'm like, picks always sound good until sometimes you get to the draft. And like you said, you brought up the example where the Pistons got that second pick for Melo, even though they were like the one seed top of the conference, all that. And they picked a bum. Like
They picked
the generational draft, and they picked a bum. So
it
and the
was
mat, come on, bro. Like, come on. So it's not a guarantee in the moment, like when you're drafting. So how can it be a guarantee now that you're giving up some great juicy pick? Like to me, that you can't move like that. Like Luka's gonna leave, so you can't make this. You can't have that mindset, bro. If you
I'm
move like that, you already lost them.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, man. Like, we gotta stop acting like, well, you gave up a first, forget, bruh. First of all, Rashawn Holmes is negative money, right?
Thank you.
Like, he's negative money. He don't play. You did a swap. What is that? 4 years from now? I don't think. Like I said, if Luka's gone, that's gonna be the summer he's gone. And I'm sorry, I hate to say it from like a asset management perspective. I like that trade better than fucking the PJ trade. Like that was a slam dunk no-brainer to me, especially because you got a fucking first to take Omax. I mean to take fucking Rashawn Holmes. So it ain't like you signed him, you had expectations for him. You got something to take him, and then you use his money and just a swap. Like I know it ended up being a first round pick, but ain't he gonna be like, I think that pick is going to end up being like 27 or some shit, 27 to 30. It's the worst pick of OKC and like Philly, the worst. So literally one of the whatever that first that they got for that swap that they sent for Gafford is literally guaranteed to be at the bottom of the first round pick. And I saw fucking the Gambler talking about, damn, that feels like a lot. That's a first. And it's like, bro, he is a smart guy at certain things, but every time someone says first round pick, I notice fans do it, the media does it, and they just get, everyone, oh, it's a first. They can get a first. Oh my God, they didn't get a first. Like, bro, if you're guaranteed, like, I'll give you an example. Those first that Indiana sent for Pascal, like, the ones this year ain't shit. Like, bro, they just ain't shit. Them picks gonna be in the 20s. They one pick is gonna be in the high 20s, one pick is gonna be in the low 20s, and a draft that sucks ass. That's why teams are giving away first in this draft, like candy. Like, yeah, take these. We try to push these out, or we don't really want them because apparently this is a really bad draft. So I think one thing when we discuss on the Twitterverse or the media, when people see like a team offered three or four first round picks for a player, like, not all picks are created equal. I will say, all the picks the Mavs have traded, them shits is real first, baby. Them is unprotected. Them is some
We
shit.
give teams pick, bro. We built the Knicks too, bro. The Mavericks and the Detroit Pistons
Ooh, buddy.
rebuilt the New York Knicks.
Yeah, buddy,
So they
like,
got us to welcome, bro. Grimes, that Grimes pick still hurts me to this day, bro. Because they traded with the Clippers to trade down and get Grimes. Oh, granted, he's in Detroit now, so it is what it is. And Josh is playing up, Josh is like a Grimes type variant. But still, that Grimes pick hurt me. But at least we're giving them a first in a mid draft, kind of. And it's probably if we, soar out, it's gonna be like in the 20s or maybe late, teens.
Teams at best, yeah. I think we definitely make the playoffs now.
Yeah, I think so too.
And that's just something I'll say. Like, I will, the Mavs, we traded an unprotected first for Kyrie. That's a real fucking first. That is not some bullshit first. That is not some lottery protected first. That's not a pick in the 20s. It may be a pick in the 20s, but that's a real first. Same thing for the one we sent for PJ.
Yeah,
I
the
bet you
2027, yeah, top two
from
protect, but that's a
protected,
first.
yeah, that's
That's
a
a
first.
real
That's a
one, yeah.
real first.
Yeah.
A lot of those first round picks the Knicks got are not real first, but a lot of them fucking firsts that the Thunder got, the reason why they're giving away they shitty first, because they got real first coming from the Clippers, like real deal, unprotected. If the Clippers fuck it up in 2 years, they could have like the number one or two pick. But those are real firsts, and I feel like I've ranted about this before. But people see two or three or a whole bunch of firsts, and they get excited. And I don't think that's necessarily the same thing. Like, for example, I think we still got two first round picks we can trade in the summer. Just knowing the way we work, we're gonna, them shit's gonna be unprotected. Those are gonna be real firsts that we sending out. Those are not gonna be what Indiana sent for Pascal, or a lot of those firsts that the Knicks got that are like lottery protected for forever and ever, and then turn into second round picks and shit. Like, nah, bro. We have sent out real firsts, and we probably gonna keep sending them shits out. So, on that topic, man, before we get into how we think the team is gonna finish, SJ, Tim Hardaway Jr.'s expiring contract, Josh Green, two first round picks, Jaden Hardy. Man, I think that's gonna get you something. I think that's gonna get you something. I don't know if it's gonna be a star. I don't know if it's gonna be an all-star. But man, I think that package would get you I think that package would have got you OG Anunoby if you could have sent that shit out at the this year. What'd you think?
Yeah, that's why when people are like, oh, Dallas traded this and traded their, but I'm like, y'all, like, they can this
That's
summer have, they have assets to move. They do. So if
That shit would have got you Pascal too, if you could have traded it, if it was that package. If it was the same thing right now, I know
yeah,
I was
right now,
thinking
exactly.
there.
So I think I'm just saying we're not the, and granted it's not like a ton of people are saying this. I'm not trying to make it seem like most people were dumping on the moves because that's not true. But I'm just saying for the people who don't get it, like I can see your concern, but I think they're a bit overblown.
There's some people that anytime you trade future draft picks, they just assume it's the end of the world. Just like everybody, I'm gonna go ahead and say this. When people be like, man, Nico took over the job, he didn't have any first, he couldn't do XYZ, blah blah blah. Like, bro, them fucking picks we owed the Knicks was not holding up shit the way people think they were. Anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it was just objectively true that we could trade first. We didn't have like all our shit locked up because of what we sent to New York for KP. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, but no, I'm just saying that I think we're well positioned. And I am just excited to see what it looks like, 'cause at the end of the day, everything looks good on paper. Remember, everyone loved the Kyrie deal when it happened last year. Remember people were saying, "Oh, Luka's going to his first finals, all that, all
Oh
that."
yeah, and
And
I was one of them. Let me be clear. I was right there with everybody.
yes, and exactly. We all know what happened. So I'm not, that's partly why I'm like, I'm not doing the contender talk. I mean, even though I truly don't believe we are, so it's not just a gimmick I'm running, like, oh, just because of last year I'm saying this. No, it plays a part, but that's not the only reason. But my point is that I just want to see it on the court. I'm very excited to see it on the court, because I really think I'd be shocked if it like does not work. Like, I'd be like, and again, I'm not expecting it immediately, but I'd be shocked if it's like, if it really goes poorly. If, like, a year from now, like next year, we're talking and you just don't see it working. Like, in the sense that, not to say that we have to win something for it to that be the kind of determining factor in whether it worked or not, but more so that PJ doesn't look good here. You know what I'm saying? I know I felt this way about Grant, but in hindsight, there was a lot of red flags there with Grant. And not saying that certain things aren't there with PJ, but the Grant things were, they were there.
Shout out
They
to
were there.
Grant Ashraf. Y'all know the best Mavs beat reporter in the business. Nah, Grant was telling us without telling us. Like, y'all need to
Yeah.
pipe down on Grant Williams. He was out in front of that shit a long time. I don't know if I'm spilling stuff I shouldn't be spilling, but he was literally everything he said end up playing out. And I'm actually curious. I think I might hit him up to see how he feels about PJ. 'Cause I don't know, man. I watched a lot of PJ Washington shit over the last, 4 or 5 months. And the thing why his shooting percentage was not what it was, especially a three ball, is like, bro, that team sucked and he was just letting that bitch go. He cleaned up that shot diet. I will make a prediction. PJ Washington will shoot 37 to 40% from three in the Dallas Maverick uniform as long as he's healthy. I will make that prediction right now. I know it's, what is he
I think
shooting?
that's a good bet. I think that's
Like,
a good bet.
when you dig into the shot data, when he's butt naked, like when he's getting the butt naked threes that Maxey get, he's making 40% of them shits and he's gonna be butt naked wide open a lot. Now, what he be doing right now is kind of the same thing with Spencer was, well, what Spencer was doing before he got to Dallas and what Spencer started doing after Dallas is he started trying to dribble and shoot them bitches, and it's like, hey brother, that ain't your game, especially these last few years when, I think last year when he was trying to get a bag, and then this year I just think that team sucks and they just doing whatever the fuck they want to do, so he's just shooting shit. But I think here he's gonna be butt naked and them bitches gonna be cash. And I don't know how to say this. His shooting stroke, pause. It's a good shot. That bitch is not broken. It's fluid. I think he's gonna shoot the ball really, really well here. I think at worst it's league average. I don't that 33 shit is going out the window. Did we get and go? Yeah, the Dan Gafford transaction was great. I don't know what it is, but I've been thirsty for Dan Gafford, pause, for like 3 years, and it's crazy we got him as a backup for some bullshit. Like, that's still crazy, like you were saying. I think that's gonna work out because, like, Dan Gafford, Just like Derek Lively, like them dudes just, hey man, just do the stuff y'all good at and we gonna be all right. So like I said, I gotta hope it play out. We gotta hope it see. I don't, because of previous trades we've made, I gotta see it work out before I start building Nico a statue. But I like where we at now and I like where we can go next, so we should be happy. So the Mavs about to play real basketball and we about to watch the team, so we're gonna get up out of here. But before we go, I have to, hey, are you watching it? Did you got this shit on right now?
Of course. What kind of question is that?
Okay. Hey man, what's going on with Kenny Smith? Like, he got paint on his head? Is that a tattoo? Has
All
like
right.
how long he been doing that? Is it
I'm not
like,
seeing what you're seeing. What you looking at? Are you
bro,
talking about
Kenny?
the beard?
Yeah, the beard and the hairline. Like he kind of got, it's like a painted on hairline. But anyway,
Oh, yeah.
he looks very, very different. Maybe I ain't been on it used to. I guess it's my first time watching the pregame show in a minute. But now we here, man. I think we are. Let's pull these standings up. Let's pull these standings up before we get out of here. Pull these standings up. SJ, I know we are in the seventh seed as of right now. Oh, I'm sorry, we're in the eighth seed right now. We should win tonight, but with the Mavs, you never know. You never know. Yeah, we in the eighth seed. We are 2 games back of the fifth seed, and we are, I don't know, shit, 7 games back from the fourth seed. I'm giving up on that. I think the highest we realistically can hope to get to is the fifth seed. Young SJ, where are we finishing?
Honestly, if this is a hit, I can see us either 5 or 6.
Okay.
I'd maybe lean 6 based on 6 would depend on tiebreakers, 'cause we already don't we play the Kings once more or twice.
Man, do not give me the Lions
Okay,
right now.
if it's one more time then we already lost that tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So, and then they're in the mix there. Pelicans, that's a tie.
Oh, I lost you.
To determine that. So it depends on tiebreakers. If the, like I said, if this hits, I can see us traveling all the way back up to 5 or 6.
I have a.
If it's like average, like where it's still a adjustment period, all that, I can see us still like 7, 8 range, like still around here, but have a higher ceiling in the playoffs.
Yeah, to me, what this trade does is even if we stay at 7-8, like, I think we're making the playoffs now. I think we're definitively making the
Exactly.
playoffs. Like, I don't think we're losing in the play-in or some goofy shit like that. But I'm gonna go ahead and call the shot. I'm gonna put us in six.
That's where I'd lean to,
I'm gonna put
six.
us in six, and I will say this. I know this is gonna sound crazy, bro. I want to play Minnesota. Give me Minnesota. Give me Minnesota. Give me OKC. Give me one of those two. I do not want to play the Clippers. I think they would pack us up. I think Denver would pack us up. But if we play OKC and Minnesota, we got a shot to get out the first round. And for me, the way I'm viewing this season as a success, I view this season as a success as being him making definitively making the playoffs, right? Like 6 seeding up and being respectful in the playoffs. But if they actually win a playoff series, in my opinion, then everything they did this basically since Jalen Brunson walked was worth it. If those things don't happen, I don't know. I still gonna be like, I don't, we kind of spiraling here, but I think the grade right now is incomplete, but I think we end up at 6 seed, and I think we're gonna be able to play. I think teams might be dodging us, but I think we need to be trying to play OKC or Minnesota, especially Minnesota. I think we got a good decent shot with them. Getting Gafford, motherfucker saw I was playing when I was like playing both, but there might be some times where you can get away with that shit against Minnesota. And I will also say, like, I don't, I think them, I won't call them frauds, but I just think she's gonna get spooky, as you say, for the Minnesota Timberwolves and maybe even OKC in the playoffs. But we shall see. We shall see. We are about to go ahead and watch these boys. Hopefully, they don't embarrass us. Did you have anything else you want to get off your chest? Any more of your two cents?
No, sir. We'll just keep. I just can't wait. We'll just keep monitoring.
Okay. Hey, apparently Dinwiddie at the
Oh,
game.
at the game, I saw that. Listen, man, if the game wrap up and then you hear, yeah, then we sign it, man. I wouldn't be surprised. That's all I'm saying. That's
So
all I'm gonna say.
they get Spencer Dinwiddie, and I am, bro. That means they traded. I love Dorian, but before we get out of here, like I love Dorian. Dorian, my guy. Now that we got PJ, if PJ works out, Dorian, I love you, brother. But we gonna see you when you on an expiring deal, or maybe when you decline it and you a free agent again. But I don't think
Ooh,
that.
sorry to cut you off, Brad. Again, saying depending on who you ask among Mavs people, Dallas's hopes of getting Dinwiddie range from cautious optimism to confident. No hint of pessimism.
Oh wow.
And he had the game, so man, I don't know.
Dog, because bro, you get Spencer off the bench and we ain't gotta be. Listen, I'm a Tim fan. I'm still gonna be a Tim fan. I kind of get pissed because people be shitting on him and they don't apply that same energy to other players. But I don't want to see Tim trying to dribble against playoff defenses. I don't. I want him standing and shooting, standing and shooting. So we can have Spencer basically doing some of that dribbling. We'd be good. I don't want to see Jaden Hardy dribbling either. But anyway, we're gonna get up out of here. SJ, I am going to sit here and watch the game and just fucking post this. So we're gonna put this up right away to where this content is, I guess, timely. And that's it. Thank y'all for listening. We will holler at y'all next episode. Peace.